This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham.
The longest General Motors strike since 1970 appears to be near its end. UAW members at the company's largest plants have voted to ratify the contract. Workers went out on strike to put an end to concessions that divided the union, an expanded use of temporary workers, a tiered wage structure. Now, on day 40 of the strike, Michigan Radio's Dustin Dwyer brings us a deeper look at one plant. General Motors Components Holdings is located in Wyoming, near Grand Rapids. There, all production workers made a lower tier wage, and many people feel let down by how this strike has played out.
On her first day of strike duty, Cindy Holmes looked up at a clear blue sky and saw a bald eagle soaring over the picket line.
It was flying really low. It was just circling around, soaring. It was just doing its thing. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, oh, I'm cool.
It seemed like a promising sign on the first day of what would become a historic strike. That first week, lots of workers were excited. It was chaotic and new. By day 8, reality was setting in.
Now, this is the first strike for all of us, really.
Willie Holmes is the president of UAW Local 167, which represents the workers at the Wyoming plant.
And a lot of our workers are brand new, so they really don't know. And they are panicked, and they are scared.
On day 12, workers missed their first paycheck. Willie Holmes walks with me out to the picket line, past a credit union and a Mexican bakery. The plant sits on a corner with several entrances. Workers picket all the entrances. Outside, a large sign says General Motors Components Holdings. Those last two words make a huge difference.
Our plant is not a traditional GM plant. We're Components Holding. We're a subsidiary of GM, or we like to call ourselves like the stepchild of GM.
Being the stepchild means the 800 workers here and at the other three GMCH plants don't get what everyone else gets. All the production workers here make a lower wage than what workers at traditional GM plants can make. The UAW didn't always allow these tiered wages. For generations, the union fought so that workers who did the same job would make the same money. But in 2007, with GM facing bankruptcy, the union agreed to pay some workers less.
All right, you guys.
On the line, Holmes introduces me to Milton Cross and Lisa Sayre.
It didn't work. The two-tier doesn't work because it's divided us. It's lessened our quality through the whole General Motors.
I think we all want to be all one wage. I think that's what we all want.
Tiered wages created tiered realities for workers. And that's especially true here at this GMCH plant in Wyoming. And there's one other way this plant is different. Workers here make parts for engines and axles, but they don't just make parts for GM. They also make Toyota parts. And the Toyota workers, about 130 of the 800 workers here, they did not go out on strike. They kept working in the plant, literally crossing the picket line each day. Adam Underhill was one of them. He says the situation was a catch-22.
The Toyota product does help keep this plant open, yet I believe that true solidarity is 100%. You know, nobody crosses the picket line.
True solidarity. It's what the UAW says it's all about. But here, now, in 2019, everyone can see the cracks in that ideal. There are temp workers and seniority workers. There are low-tier wages and high-tier wages, production and skilled trades, Toyota parts and GM parts, GM Components Holdings, and traditional GM. It wasn't always like this. Willie Holmes knows because he saw it growing up.
I have 6 sisters and 6 brothers. So there's 13 of us, right? And my mom worked right here at this plant, right here. And I was thinking to myself, there is no way in the world that she could raise all of us kids without a job like this.
Years ago, GM had multiple plants in this area and thousands of workers. Now, it's just this one plant. Workers are supposed to be happy they have a job here at all. The union is trying to hold on.
But you think that story of your family, you think that's still possible for a GMCH worker out here?
It is, if they're treated right, if they're treated fairly and paid fairly. You could raise your family.
Have you seen any robots?
This is Diego. He's 5 years old. Yerlene Carranza is his mom. She's trying to get Diego, his brother, and his sister to eat their hot dogs one evening inside the union hall.
Okay, hey, calmaditos, okay? Coser, over there, now.
It's day 25. A food pantry has opened in the hall. Lunch and dinner are served every day by volunteers, mostly retirees from this local. Carranza stands by the wall with a baseball hat on and earbuds dangling from her neck. She's a single mom with three young kids, and for the past 2 weeks, she's been surviving on strike pay. That's $250 per week.
You can't be prepared for something like this because, one, you don't know how long it's going to go for, and two, you truly don't understand how you're affected until you're affected by it, you know? I can't even afford a babysitter right now.
Her rent bill, she says, is $1,600 a month, $600 more than she'll make with the strike pay. She says her sister helped cover it for last month. She's also called consumers to try to work out a deal on her utilities, and she has to worry about food.
It's literally rice and beans, and I'm not trying to be the sappy story, but it's rice and beans and like this type of stuff. You know, you go to places where they help you, where they're willing to help you. So it's bad. I'm sorry, but it's really bad.
She stares out across the union hall. Many of the workers here are hurting. They started this strike talking about GM's record profits. Now was the time for them to get their fair share. But it was costing them. On day 31, there's news. A statement comes out from the union. A tentative deal has been reached. The union releases a summary of the agreement. I go back to the union hall. Inside the big room, a couple retirees sit around, hearing the news secondhand from the offices at the front of the building.
Heard quite a few of the F-bombs coming out of there.
All the headlines outside the hall are focused on the signing bonus workers would get in the tentative deal. And it's a big one, $11,000 for seniority workers, $4,500 for temps. But inside UAW Local 167, everyone is focused on the section of the summary for GMCH. It says these workers will stay at a lower wage than the rest of GM. Their highest wage will be about $10 less per hour than the highest wage at the regular plants.
All we get is what they decide on, you know.
Anthony Bennett sits in a chair in a wood-paneled front office processing what he just read.
And it's nothing new. It's nothing new at all. We continuously get burnt in the contracts. We do.
UAW Local 167.
On day 36, yes. I catch up with Willie Holmes.
I'm not surprised about the contract that we got. I'm disappointed.
For the deal to be finalized, the UAW's rank and file will have to vote to approve it. Holmes knows how the members of Local 167 will vote. The question he has on day 36 of the strike is how the other 40-some thousand members will vote.
But a lot of members aren't happy. They are not happy. So, like I said, I think this vote is going to be really interesting. Just like this strike was historic, I believe this vote is going to be historic.
On day 39, the workers of UAW Local 167 vote. I found Cindy Holmes again, out on the picket line. She wouldn't tell me how she voted, but she wasn't happy.
I feel like we started out with a point to make, and I feel like it really didn't make any difference.
I talked to more than a dozen members of UAW Local 167 since the tentative deal was announced. Only one told me for sure that he was voting yes. Even Yerlene Carranza, with three kids to support on her own, who still doesn't know how she'll pay this month's rent, she wants the deal to fail.
I'm praying it doesn't pass. Obviously, we're all praying it doesn't pass.
Those prayers, it now seems, have not been answered. To Carranza, the GMCH workers got left out.
You know, the union's big thing is solidarity. Do you feel like there's solidarity? How do you feel about it?
Oh, gosh. Oh, that one's a tough question to answer.
Why?
Because, being honest, they forgot about us. They got something that benefited, that was a benefit to them, but not to us, though. So I don't think there was solidarity.
out on the picket lines for 40 days, workers say yes, there was solidarity. And in the local union hall, Carranza says there was solidarity, but not in the overall deal. At UAW Local 167, 60% of members voted against the contract. Despite that, there's enough support at the other GM plants to pass it and end this historic strike. By Monday, 43 days after the strike started, the workers at UAW Local 167 could be back on the job. I'm Dustin Dwyer.